श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन विपरीत संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतज दिवान ग्रेस श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की श्री मथुरा धाम की श्री नवदीप मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम युत जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया की जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी की श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की कलयुग पावन हरनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की ताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 44 एंड 45 विल चैंट 44 डजंट हैव ए पर्पोर्ट सो विल डिस्कस पर्पोर्ट ऑफ टेक्स्ट 45 तम वीक्ष्य विस्मिता बाला शशंसु साधु साधु इति देवाश्च परिसंतुष्टा बभूवु पुष्पवर्षिणः तं वीक्ष्य विस्मिता बाला तं वीक्ष्य विस्मिता बाला शशंसु साधु साध्विति शशंसु साधु साध्विति देवाश्च परिसंतुष्टा देवाश्च परिसंतुष्टा बभूवु पुष्पवर्षिणः बभूवु पुष्पवर्षिणः तं वीक्ष्य विस्मिता बाला शशंसु साधु साध्विति देवाश्च परिसंतुष्टा बभूवु पुष्पवर्षिणः बभूवु पुष्पवर्षिणः तं वीक्ष्य विस्मिता बाला
शशंसो साधु साध्विति देवाश्च परिसंतुष्टा बभूवो पुष्पवर्षिणः विस्मिता बाला शंसु साधु साध्विति च परिसंतुष्टा पुष्पवर्षिणः तं वीक्ष्य विस्मिता बाला शशंसु साधु साध्विति देवाश्च परिसंतुष्टा बभूव पुष्पवर्षिणः
माताजी
तं वीक्ष्य विस्मिता बाला शशंसु साधु साध्विति देवाश्च परिसंतुष्टा बभूव पुष्पवर्षिणः तम
दिस इंसिडेंट
वीक्ष्य ऑब्जर्विंग विस्मिता वेरी मच एस्टोनिश्ड बाला ऑल द अदर बॉयज शशंसु प्रेज्ड हाईली साधु साधु इति एक्सक्लेमिंग वेरी गुड देवाच एंड ऑल द डेमिगॉड्स फ्रॉम द हेवनली प्लैनेट्स परिसंतुष्टा बीइंग वेरी मच सैटिस्फाइड बभूवु बिकेम पुष्पवर्षिणः शावर्ड फ्लावर्स ऑन कृष्णा Translation. Upon seeing the dead body of the demon, all the coward boys exclaimed, Well done, Krishna. Very good. Thank you. In the upper planetary system, all the demigods were pleased. And therefore, they showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 45. Tavatsa palakau bhutva sarvalokaika palakau सप्रातर आशगो वत्सांस चारयंतो विचेरतु After the killing of the demon, Krishna and Balaram finished their breakfast in the morning, and while continuing to take care of the calves, they wandered here and there. Krishna and Balaram, the supreme personalities of Godhead, who maintained the entire creation, now took charge of the calves as if cowherd boys. Purport परित्राणाय साधुनाम विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम कृष्णास डेली बिजनेस हियर इन दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड वॉज टू किल द दुष्कृतीज दिस डिड नॉट हैम्पर हिज डेली अफेयर्स फॉर इट वॉज रूटीन वर्क वाइल ही टेंडेड द कैव्स ऑन द बैंक ऑफ द रिवर यमुना टू और थ्री इंसिडेंट्स टुक प्लेस एवरी डे एंड ऑल्दो दीज वेर सीरियस किलिंग द डीमंस वन आफ्टर अनदर अपीयर टू बी हिज डेली रूटीन वर्क वंदेयं श्रीगुरो श्रीजुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावदूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदांतिकं नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatal Vyascha Kripasindu Vyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Tam Viksha Text 44 talks about that incident. And just to refresh our memories, that incident refers to Krishna catching the demon. In this case, it is Vatsasura, by the hind legs and tail, and he twirled the demon's whole body very strongly until the demon was dead. And then Krishna threw him on the top of a kapitha tree, which then fell down along with the body of the demon, who had assumed a great form. And in today's verse, seeing the dead body of the demon, all the coward boys exclaimed, "Well done, Krishna, very good, thank you." Tam viksha vismita, very surprised, and sadhu sadhu. So sadhu, one meaning of the word sadhu is a holy man, saintly person, and another meaning is good, very good. In the upper planetary system, all the demigods were pleased, and therefore they showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 45 describes what happened afterwards. After the killing of the demon, Krishna and Balaram finished their breakfast in the morning. And while continuing to take care of the calves, they wandered here and there. Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personalities of Godhead, who maintained the entire creation, now took charge of the calves as if cowherd boys. Why in the Bhagavatam Krishna and Balaram are often described as if? Krishna is described as like a human being. Kritavan kila karmani gud kapat manusha. Gud, mysterious. Kapat seems to be a strong word. Kapat means duplicity. But with regard to Krishna, it's very sweet. Kapat manusha, as if a human being. So I thought we would discuss Prabhupada's main idea in this purport, that Krishna behaves like a normal human being. Ultimately, not like a normal human being. No normal human being could just catch a demon by his hind legs and throw him in the tree and then kill him. So there is a mystery behind Krishna's functioning, and when the Bhagavatam explains it, the mystery becomes deeper. Rather than getting it fully solved, at least I have this impression, you read Bhagavatam and you have a question, how can Krishna do that? And the answer is because he is Krishna. So we say, but that doesn't solve the problem. Who gave Krishna that power? How can he do that? Where did he get his intelligence from? Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, a very extensive
purport. And as Prabhupada had this feeling that when I go to the West, I should be prepared. And how does one prepare? Normally one prepares by, like if you have to sell something, a commodity, some of you may be businessmen here, you first of all try to understand whether there is a market for it. Is it not? The first thing, whether you, like in this month, a particular community is fasting for a whole month, and if you start a small cafeteria, or if you have a food stall when everybody is fasting, you would have no business. I remembered one yatra, almost 2-3 bogies, they were all congregation devotees, and at a particular station the railway caterer came and said, chai, chai, chai. And one devotee said, look, S6, S7, S8, no business. So he was surprised. He says, what happened? What do you mean no business? Why shouldn't I come? He says, all Hare Krishna devotees, nobody drinks tea. So he was looking at it as if, you know, half of his business is lost. 3 full bogies and nobody takes anything. So then the official railway catering people came. And they said, but we can give you milk, if you want milk. Sadhana, he is intelligent. He says, okay, the chai business is lost. At least we can get some milk business. The point is, we need to understand whether a particular commodity has any kind of a market. Now, Prabhupada goes to the West with a trunk full of 200 Bhagavatam books. What faith he has that this particular message has a market in the West? He has not been there. There is no email exchange. He has not taken some market reports about what do the hippies like or they don't like. No way. He cannot understand anything. But just a few days ago, in a discussion, we were reading Prabhupada's prayers, Markini Bhagavad Dharma. Planting Bhagavad Dharma in America. This is the mood of that prayer. And in a very, very exemplary way, just like we find the example of the previous acharyas, Prabhupada says, I am completely unfit to give your message. My dear Lord, I don't know why you have brought me here. He begins his prayer like this. I don't know why you have brought me here. Don't know? He was preparing for this for the last 40 years. 4 decades of unflagging devotion. 4 decades he prepared for this. And then he says, I don't know why you have brought me here. Perhaps, Prabhupada says, perhaps there is something you would like me to do here. Therefore you have brought me here. And in 2 words he mentions what he thought of America. A Ugrasthane. He never went to America beady-eyed or starry-eyed, looking at the Empire State Building or the Niagara Falls or the American highways and saying, oh, like most world citizens, or especially Indians, when we go there, when we come back, we are in like a state of shock as to how can somebody maintain a life like that, you know, clean roads and fast cars. So this is one thing which a pure devotee can never miss, and that is, with the kind of vision Prabhupada had, one look, just one look, and he said, this is all Ugrasthan. Ugrasthane basically means a place where Ugra Karma is performed. And by Ugra Karma, Prabhupada mentions activities in the mode of passion and ignorance, mainly. But we might say last 2000 years the world is practically ruling around that particular track of heavy passionate work, and when the passion becomes too much, you just subdue that passion with heavy ignorance. Basically, these are the only two activities which civilization today is promoting: work, vote, and enjoy. How do you work? Work hard. The economy is bad, so two jobs, or three jobs maybe, or do something part-time. It's surprising, even I travel in the railways, housewives earn 15,000 rupees a month. Have you seen that? As if taking care of a house, that's not proper. I mean, there is no dignity in that. Cooking, cleaning, caring for your kids, caring for your husband. Earn 15,000 rupees, that will make you enjoy life more. So this is that dangerous seed. So work in passion, and passion burns like fire. We need relief. And what is the relief being offered by this world today? Heavy dosage of ignorant objects, whether substances you take in your body, or whether what you see in your television, what you read in your newspaper, everything to dull your intelligence. Just see, just watch, and don't think. The moment you start thinking, there's a new movie coming in. There's a new serial starting next week. There's a new star on the horizon. There is a new cricket tournament. There is new something. Why do they do that? Sometimes devotees, we feel tired by so many festivals, or we feel tired by chanting even, like, oh, 2 hours I chanted, I'm feeling exhausted. We are conditioned souls, even good things sometimes do give us exhaustion. But the fact remains that unless we get out of this mess of the twin pincer-like thing of Rajagun and Tamagun, there is no question of understanding why we are sick or why we are having a problem. So in two words, Prabhupada describes what he sees in the American skyline as a Ugrasthane, and I don't know what is my business here. And then he says, but you, my dear Lord, you are a great magician. I know it's a bit demeaning to call Krishna as just a magician. You may say, hey, what do you mean magician? What's our idea of a magician? Somebody doesn't have any other job, so he just shows a few tricks and finally asks money, isn't it? Like, there are magicians who say, I can create anything. So why not create some money and be satisfied with that? Well, I can't create money, I have to create some tricks and you have to give me money. So Krishna is not exactly a magician, but whatever he does just spells magic. We say Krishna's pastimes, P-A-S-T-I-M-E-S, but it is spelled M-A-G-I-C, magic. Everything what he does, even like a few days ago, Brajbihari Prabhu described the simple act of Krishna leaving his home and going to the forest. That has so much of intense emotional exchange in that. So basically, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is how Vyasadeva wants to sort of begin the show. If the Bhagavatam is like a big show, so many acts, first, second, third, fourth, like 10 acts, 12 acts. He says, I am now going to talk about Janma Adi Asya Yataha. with this simple word, we need to come to the level of Bhagavatam to understand why sometimes some words are used. Janma Adi means Janma Sthiti Pralaya. Creation, maintenance and destruction. Janma Adi Asya Yataha. It comes from this person. Anvayad Itarata Abhigya. I am talking about a person who knows everything directly and indirectly. Gya means to know. Abhigya means to know thoroughly. And then Shukda Vyasdeva said through the lotus lips of Shukdeva Goswami, of course, later parts of Bhagavatam, Swarat is completely free. Rat means a ruler. Swarat means a ruler who is so powerful that nobody can make him into a powerful person. There is nobody equal to him. Of course, this requires volumes of explanations. You and me have seen somebody becoming powerful, haven't we? We say this fellow was a small time crook, a small time pickpocket, now he's a big politician. How did he become like that? This person was a spot boy and now he's a big hero. This fellow was half literate, now he's a big novelist. So we are amazed at seeing somebody who is not showing so much power, and then suddenly, like some, there's a mythical story of the ugly duckling. There was a lady who was actually called Ugly Duckling in her school days, and she became a famous model later. God knows what happened, but somehow, I mean, she admitted that I was called the Ugly Duckling because of my height and looks, and later something happened and now I am a world famous model. So things do happen. People do become powerful from a very simple position, powerless, money wise, fame wise, education wise. But guess what? They don't deny the fact that something helped them. If they can't understand what helped them, they say it's luck. Array, I don't know why I brought this company, and somehow afterwards, you know, my fortune just increased. You buy a certain tract of land thinking it is useless and diamonds are found underneath. Somebody says, oh, my luck. So whether it is hard work, intelligence, this, that or luck, you admit in your honest moment, I'm saying the word very carefully, in your honest moment you admit that I really don't know how this happened. Something else has helped me. We have seen miscreants, that means people who are demons, they become powerful. How? Hiranyakashipu became powerful by Brahma's grace. Ravan became powerful by doing so many sacrifices. Everybody within our experience and even without our experience becomes powerful by taking help of someone, some process or some authority. Vyasadeva is trying to tell us that here is one person who has not become powerful by anybody's help. Now obviously somebody may doubt, come on, how this is possible? There is someone who must have made Krishna powerful. There is somebody who must have given Krishna his wealth or his knowledge or whatever. Don't worry, there is a simple example in your, my daily life. Scientists today also agree that
They don't know what caused the sun to become so powerful. Every universe has one. The sun, with its billions, with its heat, with its power, with its ability to sustain, and the best minds today are at a loss to explain how it could have just come into existence. Like, even in our factories, sometimes fires do get started and they get out of control and then the whole thing burns down. But we don't know about a fire which is so controlled that if the planet moves a degree closer, there'd be nobody here to even see what has happened. And a degree there to the other side, and it would be less effective for sustaining life here. That's like a miracle. So the sun is like this kind of an object, just for understanding things. How can something be Swarat? How can something be powerful by its own, let's say by its own dint or by own existence? Two, three lectures I just quickly scanned a few days ago to speak about this particular point about Swarat. And at one point of time, Prabhupada boils down the whole thing to that you just require a cool brain. If you have a cool brain, you can understand everything. It's not that difficult. So Prabhupada had this faith that this message of Srimad Bhagavatam is the right remedy for people afflicted with passion and ignorance. And therefore at the end of his poem, he prays to Krishna that you sit on my tongue, you make my words understandable for this particular population. I don't have any power. In fact, the way you want to make me dance, you make me dance, no problem. If you want to make me dance, I am available. I want to dance to the exact tune of what you play. This one prayer, that whole poem sums up Prabhupada's attitude. And these group of individuals, like those who just saw Krishna killing a demon, is it real or is it metaphorical? Metaphorical means, well, Vatsasur means a childish mentality, and that mentality is to be curbed by discipline. So how superior intelligence controls childish mentality, this is the lesson to be learned from this particular event. The answer is, why should it be only metaphorical? When the British people were ruling over the world, it was not just a metaphorical rule, it was real. As real as this material world is, of course. So we tend to have this kind of a dilemma in our mind when we read such accounts of Krishna coming from the spiritual world, conducting his pastimes, his activities here. And the first thought which crosses our mind is, how do I take it? Literally, did it actually happen like that? Or is it more like an example given? I mentioned about the British Empire. They used to say, the sun never sets on the British Empire. The sun never sets on the British Empire. What does it mean? It means they captured so much of land that, you know, any time the sun rises, there is some part of the world where their rule is going on. This is a metaphor. Why? Because it is not an eternal reality. It was real for some time. So time governed this particular fact. It was under the subjugation of time. In the third line of the first verse, Vyasadeva continues. He says this personality is the source of everything. He is supremely independent. He can do whatever he wants. By his activities, even big demigods can be confused. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimaya. Teja is fire. Vari is water. You mistake fire for water, water for fire. Like once I was traveling, we were going to Faizabad, that is near Ayodhya. And on the highway, I swear there was water on the highway. I said, how come this is the summer season and how so much of water? So the first time I blinked, the next time, the third time, then I came to understand, oh, that's how a mirage looks like. You really feel like it just rained a few minutes ago, and you know, that kind of a sensation. I have never been to a desert, but when you read about animals actually seeing a nice flowing lake, it is as, first of all, they are thirsty, and then you get attracted. And the only time you understand reality is when you run towards the lake, the lake seems to run away from you. So that time you really feel, hey, what is this? Normally, stationary objects, when you run towards them, they seem to come closer. Then you know it's just a reflection. The heat causes air. Now, of course, scientists do have an explanation. Hot air rises and there is refraction and then you see something. But the fact is, you are illusion. That's a fact. So, seeing the three modes and their activity here in this material world, even big demigods, we call them demigods. The Bhagavatam calls them sometimes Deva, or more accurately sometimes Lokapala. Lokapala is very distinguished and is very accurate. Lokapala means a big boss, the boss of a planet. He controls everything within that particular planet. He is a chief administrator. But Vyasadeva is introducing us to Krishna, who he says, Muyanti yat suraya. He can cause bewilderment even in their minds. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. Kuhaka again is illusion or magic, if you please. And the last line sums up Vyasadeva's declaration. Satyam Param. This particular personality is Satya, is true, is truth. He doesn't say Krishna is true, but he says this is Satyam. And of what variety Satyam? Satyam Param. Now you may say, well, in our courts, people take any religious book which they profess and say, no, I'll speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But then, when the lawyer asks, did you actually see that happening? I think I saw. Now, here is a problem. You wish to state the truth, nothing but the truth, and the only truth. And who is helping you see that truth? Your eyes. You may say, well, what's the problem with that? I saw with my own eyes. But your eyes are defective. How can you trust your eyes? So a person may feel, if I don't trust my eyes, then whom eyes? Which eyes I should trust? Even in your daily life, when you read in the geography book that the sun is 14,000 times larger than the earth, or whatever, something like that, 25,000 times. Do you trust your eyes? to your eyes the sun looks like a small coin, or do you trust this knowledge? People may say, well, I read that but I trust my eyes. But what do you write in the examination paper to get full marks? You don't write the sun is like a small coin or a small disc. You know that answer is wrong. I feel it, but the answer is wrong. So similarly, we may feel something about whether God is like this or God is like that. But we need to trust the vision of the Vedas, of the Acharyas. Nothing extra is being demanded from us. Whatever things we needed for our mundane education, the same things are required for our spiritual education. To conclude, one last point. Killing is another favorite topic of people who have problems taking Krishna as God. Why should God kill? Killing is in the mode of passion, ignorance. So in one lecture, Prabhupada clarifies. He begins the point by saying, for governance, violence is necessary. For governing anything, you need to have violence. What kind of violence? Now here people will disagree. Some will say my type of violence or this type of violence. Vedic culture ascertains that just like in our understanding, anything which is permitted by the government, if the government itself is doing something, then what kind of, to whom do you appeal to? Like the municipal authorities make a master plan. Okay, we are going to make this road into a 4-lane road. And everybody is sitting on the curb, they say, okay, we'll give you some other place. You can't appeal. Why you can't appeal? Because technically you might be the owner of a premises, but the government is the actual owner. If you go to the laws, they will tell you that. Similarly, ultimately, if Krishna is having all intelligence, then when he says this violence is good, that is not like violence dependent on somebody's whim and fancy. When Krishna decides to kill, it is backed with supreme intelligence. There is a particular reason. And there is also an explanation given as to what happens if a fellow died. Normally in human warfare, people kill, and if you say, okay, now bring him back to life, you killed him. Nobody can. What's gone is gone. You may just say sorry if it is a wrong person. What else can we do? But Krishna, when he kills, like here Vatsasura is dead. Vatsasura was one of the many who, you know, either by his own will or due to concerns, persecution or some kind of attraction or some kind of hatred, all these demons didn't have the same sentiment. Like Agasur, Bakasur and Putana were part of the family. Imagine one family and all three children, no? And one died, Putana died, then Agasur came, and he talks in terms of, like, he's a demon, but he's a Vedic demon. So he talks in terms of, I'll kill Krishna, and then I'll offer oblations to my forefathers, to Putana especially, so that she will be happy wherever she is, seeing that Krishna is dead. So the wordings are correct, the sentiments are correct, but some vital pieces are missing. What is that vital piece? How can you kill Krishna? He's the source of all life. So this is one thing which demons either do not care to understand, either they don't want to understand, or simply can't understand. That here is this person who is the source of all life. For him life, like sometimes, I don't know whether it's a right comparison, but like in these video games, your hero is never dead, right? In that particular game session, he dies. So he has three lives. first, second, third, and it dead. And then somebody says, want to start a new game? So you say, yeah, start a new game. Again he comes there, three lives. I think this is a subtle imitation of trying to, you know, like Krishna, he left, and like people say, how Krishna died? How did he leave his body? So we say Krishna has spoken a whole Gita which tells you, you never die. What to speak of he himself leaving any time? So violence, in one lecture Prabhupada says, there is sattvic bhav, mode of goodness bhav, rajasic bhav, mode of passion bhav or behavior, and tamoguni bhav. And he says Krishna shows when he kills that he is a source of all three. But he doesn't become degraded by any of these bhavas. Tribhir gunamair bhavir ebhi sarvam idam jagat mohitam. That same word comes again in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole world, Krishna explains to Arjuna, is being bewildered by these three modes. Mohitam nabhi janati mame bhya param. I am beyond this. I am avyayam also, inexhaustible. We need to do something desperate to get out of this passion and ignorance pincer which has caught us. We need to read about, hear about, associate with those who relish about Krishna's pastimes. In this incident we find few, not all, but few demigods are given a preview, not exactly a preview, but a chance to see Krishna's pastimes. Like every time we read, you know, who are these demigods who some flower leke aate, they keep their flower baskets ready. You know, like Krishna is doing something and they say, okay, Hare Krishna, Pushpanjali, Pushpanjali. No! A few fortunate ones, they are always thinking, you know, what's this happening? What's that happening? And when they see the real thing happening, they say, that was too much. Like Agasur came in the form of a serpent and he was so huge. In fact, Agasur lived like a, you know, proper city gentleman in Mathura. You know, he must be having some address somewhere in Mathura, Grand Avenue, 4th floor, whatever, something like that. So doing his daily business, but when it came to doing his part as assassin, like a hitman, it's not make sense, right? All these demons being sent as hitmen of Kamsa, those who, you know, Kamsa is their handler and they are the assassins who come and try to kill Krishna. Seeing Agasur, these demigods in the upper planetary systems were drinking their somras, their amrit every day, they increased their quota and were terrified. So the Acharya explained, here is this fellow who is causing so much terror that those who are supposed to be called Amarai, Amar. If you ask somebody, demigod, hey, you are Amar, right? So why do you worry? He says, who knows? Who knows if I come in the grasp of this fellow, you know, what will he do with me? So they are technically called Amar, but inside they know there is no guarantee. And the Acharya says, look at the friends of Krishna. Like no friend was ever told that, you know, hey, you are an associate of Krishna, you are a great soul, you are a Mahatma, and you are full of knowledge. Even if you tell them, they'll like look blank. What did you say? But they look at Krishna, they look at this Agasur with his gaping jaws. And I don't know who, the name is not given. Somebody says, let's walk inside. Just for fun's sake. So one says yes, other says yes. The whole troop goes behind those who are leading. And Krishna is like, Before he could say wait, the whole group has gone inside. Agasura has yet not closed the gap, because the main customer is still outside. He is waiting. He's waiting for Krishna. He is not told to kill all of them. But he reveals one secret. He says, I have been told, like Putana came to kill only Krishna. Agasu said, I'm so angry, I'm going to kill the whole community. How? How are you going to kill the whole community? There are thousands and thousands and millions of them. Oh, if I just kill Krishna, they will all die. I know for sure. Kill him and they all will die. And we say, how do you know that? Oh, they love him so much, they will die. Imagine a demon understanding the subtle nuances of Krishna Prem, that these people love Krishna so much that if I kill him, they will all be dead. So I risk killing all of them separately. Just kill Krishna. Coming back to our point, Krishna is the source of all emotions, feelings, attitudes, traits, mindsets, and violence is one of them. In one way, Krishna's Leela is described as therapeutic and also antiseptic. I'm not a man with scientific background, so I try to understand what does he mean, therapeutic and antiseptic. Medicine people will know that. You're a doctor, you must be knowing this. One prevents contamination or infection, and one acts when the infection has set in, so it stops it. So Krishna Leela is a therapeutic and antiseptic for the onslaught of passion and ignorance. The more we keep ourselves within the society of devotees, where regularly Krishna Katha is heard, relish, sung, we dance, take Krishna Prasad, anything to do with Krishna, this antiseptic and therapeutic effect is like put in action. And that was Prabhupada's hope, that when people read this narration, they will benefit from this, they will understand, oh, previously it was like this, but now I am actually able to relish. The more we relish this kind of atmosphere where these innocent boys, not innocent in the sense of a mundane sense of innocence, but it's pure-hearted boys seeing Krishna kill a demon and they are clapping, sadhu, sadhu iti, very good, very good, thank you Krishna. It is so sweet. And Prabhupada sums it up, nothing special, it's a daily affair. To conclude, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, demons used to come, of course Krishna is the ultimate master planner, but Kamsa used to think that I am planning everything. But somehow, all of them used to arrive just before lunchtime. If lunchtime was at 12:30, a demon would come around 11. Some chase, some kind of action, some heightened form of excitement. Just before lunchtime, demon dead. So what happens? Well, normal routine job of herding the cows, calves, looking at birds, beasts, imitating frogs and doing all this thing. This plus a demon, strong appetite. Then everybody sits for lunch, enjoys the lunch, and they are all poetic. They all see this Krishna Leela. On the spot they make songs, they describe it, and happily they come back home. They come and tell their parents, you know what? What happened today? Krishna did this. There is no subtle insinuation that is he something weird or something like that, or is he not one of us? No way! He did this, and the parents, you know, I just say Bap se beta sawai, from that law, from that particular understanding, the parents would hear everything and they say, Krishna is very wonderful. Now go to bed. That sums up a day for a Brajavasi. Krishna does everything, and the only thing they can understand is, oh, he is wonderful, he can do it. No problem. No one tries to understand how, where, and how is it possible, you know, really? Did he really do it? No way. Their love is beyond logic, inference. Our love, if at all we can call it love, is at best an attempt at loving Krishna. And that's also good. We made it in the beginning stages. So therefore, Prabhupada says, 9 cantos have been devoted for your logic and inference. A solid work of 9 cantos. Please do not neglect that. Work your way through the 9 cantos, and then the relish of Krishna and the 10th canto is yours. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Shri Radha Guru.
Kamanand Prabhu ki.
Jai.